Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, where we intend to speak only those things found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to spend time and study on the program, please feel free to contact us at the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. It's in Ecclesiastes 2 that we want to study from some of the things that Solomon learned, and that certainly we too should learn. He says in verse 12, "Then I turned myself to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who succeeds the king? Only what he has already done." Solomon had found some considerable joy in the great labors of his search to try to find meaning in the world. But when it all ended and he looks back, notice what he says in verse 11. "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done and on the labor in which I had toiled. And indeed, all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun." We see the failure of his attempts then makes Solomon to question the value of wisdom itself. And it seems that there is a note of his being exhausted and being in despair when he summarizes all of it. Notice, as we notice, starting our reading in verse 18. "Then I hated all of my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the men who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will rule over all of my labor in which I have told, and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Therefore I turned my heart and despaired of all of the labor in which I had told under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and yet he must leave his heritage to a man who has not labored for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what has man for all of his labor and for the striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun? For all of his days are sorrowful and his work burdensome. Even in the night his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity." In fact, if you go back up and look at verse 17, he says, "Therefore I hated life, because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me, for all is vanity and grasping for the wind." So he hates both his life and his labor, which now to him seems hard, and he uses the word burdensome. And it makes his days sorrowful in those verses that we read. He had done all that he knew to do. We're talking here about a man who was the wisest and the richest of all men. We only have to go back to chapter 1 to see how that God gave him wisdom and also gave him all of the things that he could have asked for, but he didn't, and that was including riches. And we see that all of this, Solomon said, produced nothing. He had played all of his intellectual and material cards, and yet nothing had worked. The string had run out. Now, think about this. if Solomon, with all of his resources and wisdom, could not get some true meaning from life, what hope is there for you and I who have far less resources and less wisdom than Solomon has? You know, you'd think that those of us who benefit from being able to read from the book of Ecclesiastes and see and read about the things that Solomon done in his quest to find happiness and meaning in this life, you would think that those of us that have that benefit would learn from his experience. But the experiment that Solomon engaged in continues to be repeated endlessly, and it's with the very same unhappy results. You know, it reminds me of the senseless man who kept rereading the same novel, hoping that it would end differently. You see, every generation, every new generation sees itself as more progressive than the last, and they always imagine that an enlightened age will succeed where the former ignorance has failed. Take for instance, our technology. Our technological age, it's no different. But you see, this is not a problem of technology. It's a question of the essential nature of man and the universe. We just simply cannot get cabbage from planting a corn seed. And it doesn't matter how well we plant it. It's just not possible. You see, life's purpose cannot be found here. And yet still, Solomon is not quite yet willing to dismiss the wise and prudent life as no better than one spent in foolishness. Look what he says in verse 13, reading through the first part of verse 14. Then I saw that wisdom excels folly, as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. You see, in the practical day-to-day affairs of life, Solomon still believes and will continue to believe that wisdom is a blessing and mindlessness or foolishness is a curse. The thing that seems to stop Solomon cold is death. Notice when we pick up in chapter 2 and the latter part of verse 14 and read through verse 16. Yet I myself perceived that the same event happened to them all. So I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. And how does the wise man die? As the fool. You see, wisdom may be useful in this life, but it yields no answers to the vital questions of life. And at last, as Solomon says, wise men die just like the fool. And they are just as forgotten as one and the other. So what then, he asked, is the real value of wisdom, or really of anything beneath the sun? Well, Solomon comes to the conclusion very vividly. He remembers the sense of that exhaustion and that burdensome and despair that he had. Look at verse 17 in Ecclesiastes 2. Therefore I hated work, because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me, for all is vanity and grasping for the wind. So he comes to hate the work that he once cherished, when he realized that death would leave all of his labors in the hand of others. Perhaps fools, that would bring it to nothing. Notice verses 18 through 20 that we read just a moment ago. Then I hated my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he'll be wise or a fool, yet he will rule over all of my labor in which I told and in which I've shown myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore I turned my heart and despaired of all of the labor in which I had told under the sun. See, he was dismayed at the reality that we must all face. All that we buy or we build here will pass soon enough into the hands of others, and none of it will survive. See, Solomon will later speak the obvious that was first spoken by Job in Job 1, verse 21, and later it will be spoken by Paul in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7. Notice what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 15. As he comes from his mother's womb, naked shall he return, to go as he came, and he shall take nothing from his labor, which he may carry away in his hands. You see, it's foolish to build a house on rented land, and madness to build a life on that which cannot sustain nor fulfill it. So, the book of Ecclesiastes is a book that all through it tells us about the reality of death and the obvious apparent blindness to wisdom and foolishness that death has. The blindness that death has to justice and injustice, to righteousness and wickedness. And it gives the appearance of an uncaring destroyer, slayer. You see, Solomon looks at the world that God had first created in perfection and then subjected to vanity, as he constantly used that word. And all of that is because of sin. And we read about that first sin in Genesis 3, verses 16 through 19. And he calls it what it is. It's an unfulfilling and baffling place whose contradictions can fill life with despair. And so Solomon again comes to the conclusion that man's desire to find ultimate joy and purpose in things under the sun is hopeless. Notice that 23rd verse, for all of his days are sorrowful and his work burdensome. Even in the night his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity. Still, though, they cannot be the foundation on which our life is to be built. Because Solomon declares for the first time that they do have value when they are enjoyed as gifts from the hand of God. Let's read verse 24. Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. So he says that they have value when they are enjoyed as gifts from God. And while keeping in mind that nothing can have meaning apart from seeking to do what's right in God's sight. Let's close our study by reading verses 25 and 26. For who can eat, or who can have enjoyment more than I? For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give to him who is good before God. That's the answer. Look upon the things that we have as a hand from God. And keep in mind that nothing can have meaning apart from doing what's right in God's sight. Thank you for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Till then, we bid you a pleasant good day. And now, we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.